Hello and welcome to your extra swipe content. For being a Patreon member, we give you that little bit extra. So there's more questions and answers, there's dating disasters, there's the perfect profile and the best place to date. And yeah, this and early access with an extra long episode, all for the price of a cup of coffee. So sit back, relax, and enjoy, because here is Jane. So here's a question, and the answer might be, yeah, quite easy for you now, because you're in a relationship. Do you believe in soulmates?
I do believe in soulmates, but I also believe you can have more than one soulmate. I feel like you can have a connection with a lot of different people, maybe not, sexual. You can have like a soulmate in a friendly basis where you're totally drawn to that person. I just can't see how you can, you know, it's nice to want to be with the same person for the rest of your life. And, you know, that's what I hope for. But I do believe we can go through life having different soulmates for sure.
Yeah, for different times of our lives and different journeys, different paths and stuff like that. Yeah. No, I totally get that.
Yeah. And, you know, there's people that, you know, that have, you know, say people that have been married and, you know, it doesn't work out and they meet someone else and like, oh my goodness, like I thought I met my soulmate before and I've met you, you're my soulmate. But, you know, at that point, their past marriage, that was their soulmate at one point. So that's just another example of, you know, meeting another soulmate.
Yeah, 100% agree. Back to the book.
Oh dear.
So with the book, I remember you saying that you've changed everybody's names in there.
Don't want to get sued, Phil.
I mean, it's not slander, it's true. What they did is true. But no one wants to get sued. But it's like anybody like messaged you or DM'd you saying, hey, I've read this book and it sounds quite familiar to me. You've been writing about me.
Well, my very first boyfriend, who I speak about in the introduction, the guy that shat on the doorstep, people. I hope people are intrigued by that and they're like, I need to go buy this book and read what this part even is about. So he was told by someone that had read it that you're in her book. So he contacted, we're not friends on social media. That was his choice. But he's still in contact with my sister. So he messaged my sister and said, you know, I heard she's wrote a book and I'm in it. Is this true? But my family have no idea about this book because
you also go under a pseudonym.
That's right. I'm not actually Jane. And, you know, no one wants their family to read about their sex life or fetishes, you know, any of that weird stuff. So I've not told my family and basically my sister basically covered it all without even asking me. So she basically wrote back saying, absolutely no way, like she failed English, like how can she write a book, ha ha ha. And then she brought it up and said to me, she goes, yeah, I told him like that was like bullshit. And I was like, yeah, I was like, as if I'd write a book. So I've come close.
Why would I write a book?
I mean, I think the guy probably does think it is, you know, that he is in the book, but he's probably worked out, or she's obviously not told her sister, so maybe he's gone and purchased it and read it. Who knows?
I mean, it's really, really bad that one of his friends read it and went, listen, there's someone that shat on their mum's doorstep. I think it might be you. Like, if that's what points out someone to someone, then yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I told this guy that read it, I was like, please don't tell him. But he got drunk and obviously came out with it. And you know, I'm kind of expecting some guys to find out about it, but you know, they are protected, their names are not mentioned. It's all changed, so there's no
but do you want me to tell you the biggest thing is,
yeah,
they shouldn't have had to like dickheads.
I know. I know. And I feel like maybe if they did read it, they would realize, you know, sometimes when you read something, you're like, actually, my actions were wrong. I maybe should discuss things. So maybe they'll just learn a lesson. You never know.
Maybe. Maybe you've helped them as well. So maybe they should go read it because, like you say, they might improve and realize, this is where I'm going wrong. Like, exactly. Don't rub my stubs in a restaurant on a first date.
Or don't
and
pee
I'm
on me.
I'm not going to explain that one. Yeah, or don't pee on you. There's water sports involved and not that kind.
Oh, not the good kind. But, you know, I think when I went through certain dates, I was young and didn't speak up for myself. And one thing I've learned from the book is communication is key. And if I only spoke up and just said, you know, I'm not comfortable with that. But a lot of the time I was just kind of going along with things because I thought if I didn't, they might not like me anymore. We spend so much time trying to please other people instead of being happy in yourself. We're just like, oh, what do they want? I'm going to try and be more like that because then they'll really like me. We're just craving this, I don't know, attention and love. And, you know, it's fine to be like, I don't want to do that. And if they are not happy with it, then they're not the right person for you.
Yeah, it's definitely about setting boundaries and realizing what you want out of life before going and trying to please other people about it. And like you say, communication is key because without it, like you get a book.
yeah
So leading on to that, what is the biggest thing that have you learned from writing this book? Because obviously you put it all together and then you've wrote it and then probably read it over and over again just to make sure, but
yeah,
I'm guessing you've learned some lessons out of the book as well.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I've learned that I was a huge people pleaser. I mean, I'm still like that, where I like to kind of go above and beyond and surprise people and just do nice things. But back then, when I'm, you know, writing the book, I realized I just didn't stand up for myself and just made too much effort. And if someone makes all the effort, the other person probably will take a step back and say, well, they're making the effort anyway, so I don't really need to show much because they're doing it all for me. So I realize the things, like I would drive like 2 hours to see someone and they wouldn't drive to see me. You're looking a bit weird just now, Phil. Is that something that's happened to you?
I've done like 6 hour round trips now, and 4 hour round
crazy.
Trips.
That's crazy. You're a people pleaser too, Phil. You've got to be. It's only people pleasers that do that.
I haven't recently, actually. I did go drop off a mic to someone like last weekend.
You know, and I did say, why don't you post it? Or I can get it, but no.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I appreciate
you've got to meet the co-host in person, haven't you?
Yeah, for sure. Even though it was a bit smelly because I was at Leeds Festival, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, Leeds is a bit closer than Glasgow as well. It's like...
Yeah. Thanks, Phil.
So, I try not to be a people pleaser anymore. If I want to do something, I do it. But if I don't, I don't.
Perfect,
and
yeah.
It's simple as that. So for everyone that hasn't read the book yet, you can go on Amazon and it's on Kindle and also paperback, isn't it?
Yes. I would love for anyone that's read it to message me and tell me your thoughts, or you could write a review. I love that. I love hearing people's reviews seeing people's reviews on Amazon. It just makes my day. If I can make people laugh, then that's my job done. It's a book to, you know, it's not to be a serious book. It's to make you laugh and realize, you know, bad days happen to everyone and it's how you move forward from them. And just the best thing to do is laugh. Like, laughter is, you know, the key. Best medicine.
Mm-hmm. Laughter. Laughter's great.
Yeah.
It's always good to laugh.
Dating disasters.
This segment is called Dating Disasters because, let's face it, we've all had them. So now it's time to hear from our guest and hear what the worst date they've ever had is. Ba, ba, ba. Dating Disasters.
Yes.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Good. So we are back for season two with the favorite part that everybody loves, because they look and they go, my life isn't that bad. My dating life's all right. These dating disasters are pretty bad. But here we go. So the queen of dating disasters, I named her that. she looked at me when I said it and she was like, I was like, yeah, you are.
I'll add that to my CV.
So you've got lots to choose from. From this book, and ones that aren't in this book, because they're going to be in the book too.
That's right.
Eventually bring out. So we want to know what your biggest dating disaster is.
It's hard to choose one that's like the biggest dating disaster, but the one that like still kind of infuriates me is because it's a collection of disasters throughout the date. So being the people pleaser I was back then, I took a two-hour train to get to Edinburgh to meet this guy who said he was going to take me for dinner. And when I arrived at the station, he messaged me to say he was running late. So that's kind of like, that was kind of straight away. I'm like, oh, for goodness sake. But anyway, these things happen. It turned out he was late because he was taking part in a yoga class. So he didn't even have time to go for a shower. He went from yoga to come to meet me. And he told me that he had already had dinner before yoga. So that was dinner gone. The fact that he just couldn't even cancel a class. Like, he knew where he was meeting me, but he could have postponed his class for another time. So then we went to a bar. And the bar didn't serve food. So I'm sitting there starving. But what the biggest kind of a horrible like pet peeve of mine is the fact that he just turned around and said, I'm just going to the toilet, can you get the tap? So it was the first day, I've came all this way, he's kind of not made any effort so far, and then he asked me to get the tap. So it's really rude, and it just kind of infuriated me that I didn't stand up for myself. I just kind of went, yeah, that's fine. You know, he said he wasn't getting paid till like the following week. I'm like, who goes on a date with no money? Like, you need to at least have money for yourself. If you want to go halves, that's cool. But the fact that he had no money, so that really pissed me off. That's like a date that pissed me off.
Yeah, because A, you traveled really far. B, he was sweaty.
Sweaty and smelly.
Was he in his yoga pants still?
Yeah, he was in the actual yoga. I remember what he wore. It was like those tight leggings and this kind of like vest top thing. So there was no, you know, there was not so even
he
like...
left his wallet in his other.
Yeah, there's actually just no effort made at all.
Who eats before yoga?
I know. You know, I've got friends who teach yoga, and they're such cool people. They're just very... they're all about their kind of health and wellness. They're just like peaceful and calm. I'm like, this guy was the opposite. He just made zero effort. Maybe he was so, he meditated so much to the point where he was just too chilled. Couldn't care.
He was just zen.
Zen. Too zen for the day.
And then went to the toilet and like, can you get the tap? It's like, oh, what?
Yeah. So yeah.
No more people pleasing Jane.
Yeah. I learned my lesson.
Yeah, that'd annoy me too. Now, for anyone that listened to the last bit of season one, I said about an ick that I had, but it's also a dating disaster, and I never told anyone, and I feel that I can't leave the audience hanging like that, because I didn't get any messages, so I'm guessing people didn't really care, but hey, I care. So we're going to tell you about this dating disaster, and... yeah, it's dating disaster ick mix. So back in my early 20s, I had a back operation, and I came from out of the back operation, out of hospital, and basically decided just to have one of those blowouts where I went drinking quite a lot. And it was all right, you know, I was fine. And then the point when the drinking stopped was this point. So I went out with my mate one night, and I never, ever
ever get drunk to the point of being blackout drunk, not being able to remember. I always remember. Apart from this one time where I didn't remember. So I woke up the next day after going out and didn't have a clue what went on. And I had got this message on my phone saying, "Hi, Phil, it was great meeting you last night. I'd love to meet you again, da, da, da." And then the person's name was like an ex. So I ring my mate. I'm like, "Did I meet someone last night?" And he was like, yeah. She was really attractive as well. And I was like, okay. Are we still going out tonight? And he was like, yeah. So I didn't have work at this time, by the way. I was signed off because of my back. So don't think that I was going to work getting drunk. And then, yeah, it didn't happen. So I arranged to meet up with her. And then we met up and got chatting. Everything was going good. Then we went out to the smoking area. And then someone told a joke. And this was, she laughed like Janice from Friends.
Oh, okay, let's see if I can try and do it. Listen, like a lamb.
Right, people vote which one was better. So yeah, I kind of was like, I was just looking like, wow, okay. And I was like, can I forgo that? Or is that just an ick? And at this time in my life, I never even knew what the ick was. Like, I was just like, yeah. And I think a lot of men probably don't know about the ick. They just get put off by something and like, oh, that's that. But so anyway, it gets worse. We go back in. And my mate who I went out with and it, like another one of our mates and mate's girlfriend and her friend were just standing there. We walk back in and she goes up to the girls and says, "Oh, he's my boyfriend," and points at me. And I'm like, excuse me, like, what? when did this happen? And she was just like, well, I just thought we were. And I was like, we met each other yesterday, and to be honest, wow, I didn't even remember it. And anyway, I was like, looked at my mate and I was like, yeah, I think we need to cut this right here. So I said to her, I says, "Oh, we're going home. Do you want us to like get you a taxi?" So it was quite late. And so she goes in the taxi in front and she looks and goes, "Oh, are you lot going home?" And I'm like, yeah, I'm going back to my friend's house, stay there, just so she didn't end up coming with us. Put her in the taxi, got into the other taxi. As she drove off, I said to the taxi driver, I was like, "Right, we just need dropping around the corner and we'll just like drop you a tenner." just literally around the corner. Just made sure the taxi drove off. We drove off and then he dropped us off. And yeah, I decided that was the point where, even though I had quite a bit of time left off, I wasn't going out drinking anymore.
Well, Phil, you did say you blacked out, so who knows what you agreed to when you were blacked out. She's like, "Do you want to be my boyfriend?" You're like, yeah, why not?
Yeah, but it could have been possible, but like...
Yeah, that's
it. It's just like, no.
Very intense. No one asks someone to be their partner the first night they meet, you know?
Especially
unless
it's
someone
drunk,
like a very hot celebrity, I'd be like, yes, I will do anything.
I would probably say yes. Actually, who is your celebrity crush?
It's an old man. It's Hugh Jackman every time.
Hugh Jackman?
Yeah. Because
Hugh Jackman's hot.
He's hot. He's so talented. He sings in musicals. Oh, yeah. You know, he's very versatile with his acting, and there's just I saw him in concert and he is unreal. So yeah, he gave a woman.
What's his favorite role of yours?
Wolverine. Yeah,
nice.
But there's so
nice,
many.
nice.
Yeah, so there you are.
You like the spiky hair.
That's it. Who is your crush?
So we were talking about earlier of you being at Leeds Festival. Now, I was at Leeds Festival and I actually met my crush.
Ooh.
Which was awesome. This was years and years and years ago. But why has her name just disappeared? Her name is literally just Catherine Ryan.
Ah, wow, Catherine Ryan, she's hilarious.
She's hilarious and she's hot.
Yeah, she is.
I was good. Very disappointed when I found out that she got married to her childhood sweetheart. Yeah. So I think I might need a new celebrity crush.
Yeah, move on.
I'll find one. I'll get searching.
The best place to date.
This segment is called The Best Place to Date. Our guests are from all over the world, and we're going to ask them where was the best place that they ever went on a date, and the reasons why.
New segment. We've got loads of new segments, and it's really good, and we'll be adding to them. We'll be doing different things, and yeah, we'll just make as many as possible. Now, this one is the best place to date. Now, we've got guests on this season coming up from all over the world, or all over the UK. And Jane is from Glasgow, so up in Scotland. So we want to find out that... So we want to find out where you have ever been on your best date. And yeah, just tips, tricks, and then anyone that's ever up in Glasgow can, yeah, go on a date here, whether they're with somebody or not.
Well, there's a bit of a crazy date idea that I've done before, and a few others that I know have done it. It's called the sub crawl. So we have a subway in Glasgow. It's only like 15 stops. And people don't tend to do the all 15 stops, but what they do is they get on the train. As soon as they get off the next stop, they go to the nearest bar, have a drink, get back on the train, go to the next one, and they try and complete the circle. So we're not like London. We have one circle and that's it. But it's such a fun idea, because if you want to go on a kind of drinking date, then it kind of keeps it, there's lots to talk about. It keeps it fun. It keeps it quite exciting. That's a good one if you want to drink.
So you did this on a date?
Yeah, it was so much fun.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was so much fun.
Was it a first date?
It was a first date. I know. But I kind of like to do stuff that's different, you know? I don't kind of like...
Yeah.
I just get bored quite easily, so I like to do stuff that's quite fun. So we were just discussing that was one thing with that date when we were chatting beforehand. He's like, you know, I just want to do something that's not the usual mini golf, bowling, going for a coffee, going for a walk. What do you want to do? Is there anything that you can think of? So we kind of both were thinking the same. Let's do something a bit fun and random. And went on to Google, good old Google. And that was one of the kind of suggestions. So it was fun.
Suggestions.
Yeah.
And what's your drink of choice? See, this episode's all about you, so it's going to be you.
I am a rum and ginger beer.
Ah, okay.
So random. But okay. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, my drink of choice.
Rum and ginger beer. Mm-mm-mm. Nice. Mine's tequila and lemonade.
I love tequila, but I've never had it with lemonade. But now I will do that.
Do it.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Next time you're out, do it.
Yeah. And tequila's low in calories as well.
Is it? And I think it's good for you as well.
Oh, there's
lots
are.
Of good things.
Perfect.
About tequila. I mean, it's from cacti. Done. And you was about to mention something else for people that don't drink or don't want to do that for their first date.
Yep. So if you're not a drinker, this wasn't our first date, but if you like animals, I went on an alpaca trip. So you get an alpaca and you take it for a walk, and it's the cutest thing. I mean, obviously, who you're going to date with needs to like animals or is up for it. But it was such a fun day, because you kind of get to see the other person's personality to see if they're a loving person. Because the way you treat an animal, like, it says a lot about you, you know?
Yeah.
I'm an animal lover, so I find that people that don't like dogs or any other animals, I'm kind of like, what's wrong with you?
Snap.
Yeah.
Snap, stay away from me.
Absolutely. So the alpaca thing is so cute. Yeah, that's a great date to do. Maybe not for the first one, because it's quite a lot, but if you're like going, if you've been on a couple of dates, that's a good one to suggest.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. So we will put the alpaca location in Glasgow, but there's also all over the country there's alpacas.
That's it.
We'll put that in the show notes so you can see. But yeah, that's great. Do you know what? Next time I'm in Glasgow, I might go and see if I can do that 15 stops.
I wish you all the best.
I'll end up like in a relationship. Yeah. Oh wait, that happened already. Yeah, definitely going to try that. So thanks for the best place to date.
Building the perfect profile.
This segment is called Building the Perfect Profile. So we'll ask our guest to name one thing that they want to add to the profile, and we'll see what our perfect person looks like, or maybe not.
So, another new segment. We're just spoiling you guys right now, aren't we? So, each week, we're going to ask our guest to add something to create the perfect partner. And by the end of season two, we will have effectively the perfect partner, which won't be perfect because everybody likes different things, but it's an amalgamation of all our guests' opinions. So that would be parts of perfect. Yeah, it works. We're going with it. It doesn't matter. It might sound stupid, but hey, we'll go. So, Jane, what would you choose to make the perfect partner? It could be looks, personality, or something else. And you're going first, so that means that nobody else has said anything. So, yeah.
What an honor. I think for me, if the person likes their outdoor activities, I'm a very outdoorsy person. So, for me, having a partner that likes similar interests is, you know, that to me is a tick in the box. You know, I like to go wakeboarding, snowboarding, hiking. I love watching sports, you know. So someone that's into their outdoor activities and sports, that's definitely top up there as one of the kind of top things that I look for.
Cool. So on the profile so far, the person has hiking boots.
Yeah? Okay, yeah, perfect.
We'll do that. We'll put some hiking boots on this person and he can be all outdoory and adventurous. That's awesome. Yeah, I think that really works. The first one, outdoorsy and adventurous. And then we will build this person up as we go. And it might be a mix, but it'll be fun.
It'll end up looking like David Beckham or something.
What, with walking boots on? Yeah, I'm trying to think, is David Beckham everyone's cup of tea?
Oh, he's handsome.
So wait, we've got Hugh Jackman and David Beckham right now. Yeah, David Beckham's good. I'm going to say this and a lot of people are going to hate me now, but until he speaks.
Oh, I know.
I'm not a fan of the accent.
Yeah, I do agree with you with that. Yeah, you're like, just don't say anything.
just stand there and look how you are, and yeah, yeah. Don't say a word.
The opening line awards.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. Our presentation will begin shortly.
Welcome to the opening line awards, where we will find that opening line that just makes you cringe, throw up, and never want to enter the internet again. You're welcome.
So, this is a new segment, and it's called the Opening Liner Awards, where each week we will be getting opening liners that we've heard from everywhere. And what me and Jane are going to do is we're going to pick the one that we think's the worst, and then you guys get to choose what you think's the worst. So, we're just going to build it up. So, this one actually came in, and this has three opening liners in the first message, which is crazy. So I'm going to read them out, and then me and Jane are going to write down which one we think's the worst, and we're going to show you.
Okay.
So, number one. Hiya, gorgeous. Are you a magician? Because whenever I look at you, everyone else disappears. Number two. Was your dad a boxer? Because damn, you're a knockout. And number three, I seem to have lost my number. Can I have yours? So you have to pick the worst, and the worst is going to go on to the next round, and I'll pick my worst as well. Okay?
Okay, I'm not going to write the full thing out. I'm just going to put
the name. Do you need them again?
I'm just going to put like, well, I just put like maybe the main words. Okay.
Yeah. Right. And if we pick the same, then... it's either magician, boxer, or number.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
We're going to share? 3, 2, 1.
We got the same. Yeah.
We went for the magician. We both went for the magician. Which would you say is second worst?
Because
we've got to give it so the...
Oh, sorry.
The boxer.
Yeah.
So magician and boxer, that... Yeah.
Yeah.
Magician and boxer, that will be up on our Insta stories, and you guys can choose which one's out, well, which is the worst out of that. And there we go. That is the opening award. And then at the end of the season, we will tell you what we find the worst is. If you have had like any really, really bad opening liners, please send them in. I'm sure Jane will have quite a few to add to this list.
Yeah.
And I'm sure a few other people will. Team Blonde, you can get involved if you want as well, please. With all the ones that you've had. Just email it or send it on our Instagram. So that is the first ever Opening Line Awards.
And that's the end of the first ever Extra Swipe. Hope you enjoyed and look forward to seeing you next week. Take care. Goodbye. Have a great day.